All right, well, let's go ahead. If you have a book, I do not have any extra books at this point, but I will be getting those. But page number 51. And we jump to the section on basically it says, you must know why you need to study the Bible. And so I underline two words on that, why study? And just making it simple, why? Why should we study the Bible? Why should we be interested? And so this book gives us basically a number of statements on why, or what we gain through study. And you'll find as we go through these that you'll be like, yeah, that's important, but I don't know a lot of people that study their Bible for that. And that's exactly right. And so if you take an interest in study, all of these things will begin to be realized in your life. And you'll be at the top of the list as far as Christians are concerned with knowing how things works in God's economy. So the first thing there, go ahead and flip over to page number 52. The first reason, and we covered things on 51 last week, we're going to just look here to 52. The first reason why we want to study our Bible is to be saved. You say, well, I'm already saved, and that's great. Remember, the doctrine of soteriology. Now, when you hear that, soteriology, that word soteria is in there. And that word soteria is a Greek word, and that's the word behind the word saved in the Bible, all right? And so people that go to Bible college, we need big words for things, right? And there you go. Soteriology is one of those. And it's the doctrine of salvation. And here's what's fun about the doctrine of salvation. It starts when you get saved, and it never ends in our lives, right? You can make a couple of statements. You could say, I need to be saved, right? I am saved. I am being saved. Now, we believe once saved, always saved, right? Because our salvation is housed within Christ. He saves us by his work. He keeps us by his work, right? But there's still a portion for us that we realize in our lives. Like the helmet of salvation. What is that a part of? Our armor, right? Why would a believer need a helmet of salvation? If you're already saved, why do you need a helmet of salvation? To protect our mind. Where is the main battle going on in our lives? It's in our mind, isn't it? How do we pray? With our mind, prosuki, right? With our mind. That's how we pray. We pray in the spirit, but with our mind, right? And so with our heart. And when you see the word heart, heart is like our soul, and our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion, right? It's who we are. It's the center of our being. And so we pray with that being. And so the helmet of salvation, by the way, what should we do with things that come into our mind that shouldn't be there? Cast it out. Casting out every imagination and every thought, right? That comes in, it's against the knowledge of God. And we're to bring every thought into that knowledge of God. And so that takes place in our mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think depressing thoughts, what are you going to be? You're going to be depressed, right? You can't get away from it. If you wake up and you have a bad attitude and you don't do anything to change that, you're going to have a bad attitude until, you know, forever, right? And so, because as we think in our heart, that's who we are that day. You know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It can help, amen? Yes. Oh, man.
To get the word of the Lord in our heart, in our mind.
That's right.
And be cheerful souls.
When I was a young Christian, I got to the point where I hated going to sleep because I felt like when I woke up, I'd almost like lost ground from what I'd learned the day before. And I was frustrated. And I don't know if anybody's ever felt that way. And so, but what helps with that, like Nancy's saying, is if at the first of the day you get up and you spend some time in the Word, then that brings that back to the surface, right? Our mind is like, do you know, you can only focus on one thing at once. You can try. If you take your eyes, you try to look at more than one thing at once and focus on it. You can't do it. When you focus on one thing, everything else becomes blurry. That's how God made our eyes. Well, it's the same way in our thought process, which we see. We see with our mind's eye, right? And so what you focus on is at the top. And sometimes we focus on things that God says, hey, stop focusing on that. Put that thing to the side, right? Some people really struggle with setting things aside. Say, no, this is a big issue. What Brother John was talking about with John G. in reference to a house and all that, what has he done? Because he believes the Lord, by faith, believes the Lord has this thing handled. He's able to set it aside, not focus on it. And what does that enable him to do? Focus on something else. Does that make sense? And so very, very important. But all that is done where? In our mind. So, hence, a helmet of salvation. And so when you see this little phrase here, I should study the Bible because I need to be saved. Now, he primarily focuses on the fact that people are saved through the study of their Bible. But I would say that people that do not have salvation yet really struggle with studying their Bible, but they should at least look into and study what it means to be saved, right? If somebody says to you they're interested in salvation, they never look into it, they never study it, they never deal with things, then they're really not all that interested in it, right? Because they're not putting forth the effort to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15. So we study to be saved. Now, there's another aspect of this. Let's go ahead and look at 2 Timothy 3:15 there real quick. 2 Timothy 3:15. We're just going to spend a few more minutes here on this, and we'll jump to Revelation. That's how we're going to kind of run the class. We'll spend a little bit of time in our book, and then we'll jump to the book of Revelation, which we are using as a tool to kind of really put some of these practices to use in a practical way. And so we'll do that. So 2 Timothy 3, this is a very, very well-known passage. And let's go ahead and read 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. Who wants to read 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17? You can. Sharon.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
It's a great passage. Great passage. I was looking for 2 Timothy 3.
Oh, I thought it says Corinthians.
No, I'm sorry. No, that's good, though. I love that passage. That was awesome, right? That veil taken away. There's liberty in Christ. There's liberty in... What's that?
It was meant to be
written. It was, absolutely. There is liberty in Christ. There's liberty in the Word. And that's what salvation is all about. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? Most people that don't have liberty have never studied their Bible, so they're kind of stuck in this unsureness. When you're not sure, man, it's a rough place to be. Amen? Did you find 2 Timothy? Amen. 3:14-17.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. That's fine. No, absolutely.
But continue thou in the thing which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen. That's awesome. This is Paul. Who's he speaking to? Timothy. Timothy was, he was saved, right? He was led to the Lord by Paul. And then he not only was saved, he was pastoring. He was the first pastor of the church of Ephesus. And he says this, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And Paul's talking to a saved guy, right? And then he goes in from there and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let me give you a little tidbit there as far as when you deal with people on the Word of God, whether it's inspired and all that. I believe that the Bible, as it states, that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the Scriptures, right? Okay, God spoke his word through holy men. They wrote it down. So God's word was inspired when he spoke it. By the way, what the word inspired means is it's that breath. It's the breath across the vocal cord. Who spake? God spoke. This is not man's word. It's God's word. And God's word went out. Those men wrote it as the Holy Spirit led them. God's word has never stopped speaking. Someone says, do you believe in double inspiration? No, I believe that God's word is inspired forever. God's word is preserved in its inspired state. I want you to get a hold of that. If you believe in double inspiration, it means you believe that somewhere along the lines, God's word stopped being inspired. Inspiration is not a single act. Inspiration is a continual act. If you know your Greek tense, it means it's in the perfect tense. Amen? The perfect tense meaning it started and it's never stopped. Right? And so the doctrine of inspiration is that God spoke and that word has never stopped speaking. It's alive. And that's what the Bible claims. Does that make sense? So that is your doctrine of inspiration. It's preserved. That's the doctrine of preservation. It is preserved in its inspired state. It's not dead. Never has been. Is that awesome? Okay. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for us as believers. It's profitable for an unbeliever to be saved, but for believers, it's profitable for doctrine. I love that. For the teachings of the Word of God, for reproof. By the way, if you ever get to the place that you're no longer reprovable, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Here's what reproof means. All right. Review day today of just stuff. Amen. Reproof. All that means is do it again. Proof. Prove it. That's it. Go prove it again. When you're reproved, someone says to you, I don't think this is where you should be focused, whatever, believe. When another saint loves you enough to say, man, I just don't think you're where you need to be with God, or on that issue, or whatever it is, you name it. We should love other believers enough and respect them as siblings in God's family, right? That if another believer says to us, whether authority or not, right? So I've been reproved probably more by my younger children than anybody. Because we have a relationship, right? And they don't mind, they know we can talk about anything. They're not like afraid to talk to me. And so they'll say stuff and I'll be like, oh man, that's good. I got some thinking to do on that one, right? What is that? I've been reproved. I was moved by them without them even knowing potentially. I've been moved by them to go back and study it again. And by the way, once you study something and you got a handle on it, does that mean you never need to study it again? No. Why? Because this is what we do. Oh, this is good stuff. Every time a thought or memory comes to you, do you know what we do with it? What is it? We alter it. That's right. We skew it. And what do we skew it according to? No. Not our memory. We skew the memory based on what we want it to become. What we want it to be. What we want to remember it as. Being married now for a couple years, a lot of times it's hilarious because we'll be talking to somebody and something will come up from 20 years ago and I might make a comment and Dana will be like, that's not what happened. I'm like, you may think that's not what happened, but as I recall it, I believe that's what happened, right? So here you have two people who are looking back at the same event. Say, what happened over those 20 years? As each of us thought about it, we each kind of skewed it a little bit, right? So much so now it's unrecognizable to the other. Does that make sense? So I can't, there's not like a ledger I can go back to and reprove those events. right? I can't. So you just got to let that go, right? But with the Word of God, we do have the ledger. And so instead of allowing our thought on things to be skewed, we just go back and reprove it. And what reproving does is it puts us back to the baseline of the truth. Does that make sense? People that are proud and people that think they know something say, I don't need to reprove it. I learned that once. I got that down. I'm an expert. You're in trouble is what you are. You are in trouble, amen. Because all of us do this. Every time I study, I'm corrected. I'm like, man, I didn't see that little word right there. That means everything, right? So that's what that means. So it's good for doctrine, reproof for correction, right? Correction is just, I'm wrong. And by the way, if you can't be corrected by the Word of God, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. If we get to the place that nobody can correct us, we're in big trouble, right? And so the Word of God does that for us. And then not only that, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. By the way, the word perfect in Scripture is mature. That's God's plan, is to mature us in the faith, that you may be perfect and mature and wanting nothing, so that you're fully furnished, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the goal, right? So that's what we want to do. So salvation, in reference to this, how many people do you know that are Christians that are right now engaged in things that they really need delivered from? You know anybody like that? Yeah? Okay. If they don't study their Bible, will they be delivered? No. So salvation is not just for those that need to be saved, like for the first time, meaning that brought into a right relationship with God, sins forgiven, but the doctrine of salvation continues on from that. Once I'm saved now I die daily, Paul said. Now I need to be delivered from me and my thoughts and my ways and my sins and everything else every day of my life. And how will that happen? Through study. You show me a person that's not studying their Bible, and I'll show you a person that's very frustrated and struggling in their practical life. Study is weariness to the flesh. Our flesh hates it, but our spirit loves it. Amen? It was for Wednesday night, I preached on that topical message of fellowship. Oh, that was so fun. I just sat down to study just that topic. Man, I can get lost in study. I mean, like hours. I'll be like, where did the time go? But it's, man, my spirit just jumps for joy at the study of God's Word and just start looking at things. It is so much fun. I want all Christians to understand that joy of study. Amen? And so anyway, any thoughts on this topic? The reason to study would be for salvation. Salvation for someone to come to Christ, but then for the believer to be delivered in their practical life from everything we need saved from, right? Including ourselves, our own thoughts. It could be a sin. Might just be, a whole host of things. Just maybe a conflict with somebody. I don't know. It could be anything. Amen? But that's where that doctrine of salvation goes. Any thoughts on that? No? Amen. If you have an issue, would you know how to go to the Bible and study? Where do we start? I just feel led to do this for a minute. Amen? If we have an issue with something, which is daily, how do we study the Bible on that? Like, where do we go? How do we get started? Yes?
I would pick the main word of the problem.
Okay.
And start with that.
What do you do with that main word?
Look up the word.
Where do you look it up at? In a concordance. Good. And what do you use for a concordance?
First of all, it's in my Bible, but then if I don't need anything else, I have other study.
What other ones do you use?
Well,
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine. I have Strong's. Okay. I have Vines.
Now, on the Strong's, do you use the actual book?
Yeah, I have books.
You have a book. Okay. And do you like to do books?
Yes, I do books.
So you'll use a concordance, and then you'll do, so that's Strong's for the most part. There's another concordance, like a Bible dictionary called Thayer's. I have that one that I sometimes will reference. Thayer's. And then Vines. What does Vines do?
Well, it's got word definitions. There's topical. I have a topical study.
Yep. So Vines, Vines is a little bit different than the concordance. It's actually going to show you every time a particular word was used in more based on word. Strong's is more based on the Greek word that underlies the word, right? Like I just mentioned, soteria is a Greek word that underlies the word salvation. I'm not sure on that word. A lot of times you look up that Greek word and you're going to find out when you go into, there's another thing called the KJV Concordance. That's different than the Strong's. And what this does is it actually takes that Greek word and it shows you every word that that Greek word is translated to in your King James Bible, right? So that's a little bit different. Yes?
What is the Vines?
Vines is more, it's based on the word, not the underlying Greek word, but the actual word itself. Like it would say like the word salvation, it would show you the different passages. It's more of a topical on that word itself. And it does give some definition there too. But yeah.
There's also a Cruden's concordance.
Cruden's.
Yes.
I'm not using it. It's K-R?
No, C-R-U-D-E-N-S.
Cruden's.
Yes.
Yeah, I've not used that one.
It's a whole lot smaller and more compact.
Okay.
So you can buy one the size of, well, about this size.
Right.
It's bound black like a Bible. You can carry it with you and look it up if you don't have the others. But I was going to say too, that with the days of smartphones,
I know,
and Bible
I know.
Apps and all that, man, the Bible apps are phenomenal.
Yes. There's another one, which I might even have some back there. There's a way of life encyclopedia. Yeah. Here's what I like about Cloud on a lot of things. On his study materials. He gives you basically the framework, but doesn't tell you what to think on things. Now, in some of his stuff, he does. He writes articles. He's very opinionated, all that, yes. But his encyclopedia, he's just a really, really, he's really good at giving a study tool that then you can run with, if that makes sense. So the Way of Life Encyclopedia, you would look up a word, and it would be something like, it would probably be more like a Thayer's. And it kind of develops that thought, gives some other scriptures where you could look and do some study. Yes?
Webster's 1828.
Webster's, yes. If you do not have the Webster's 1828 first edition dictionary, I would almost say that would be the first tool you would buy. Right there. And this is number one, Noah was a Christian, and so his perspective's great. But in the first edition dictionary, and you could get that on your phone, or you could get that on book format. It's kind of a big book, but anyway, this is nice. Now, really, I think the one that's even better than this would be the Oxford English edition. It's called the OED first edition. It goes back into the 1600s. If you can get a hold of this, that's great. But you're gonna drop multiple hundreds of dollars for one of those. It's hard to find, and even online, you got to buy a subscription. I've not found anywhere online that I can really get the full OED all that well. But that is a good one. Between these two, Oxford. Remember, Oxford and Cambridge. These are the schools that really took the King James Bible, and they've really. The two texts that you'll find for underlying for your King James English text, there's going to be the Cambridge and then there's the Oxford. And so, they're a little different, by the way, just slightly. But that's why these two are very good resources. Someone else had their hand up real quick. Yes, Jessica.
I do also, besides all that, when I'm studying a topic, I go back on your sermons online.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good too. Yep. Find someone that has done some studies, go through it, let them do some of that work for you, write that down, go from there. That's good. Does someone else have a hand up? I think, Brother John?
Let me see. Concordance is in lexicons.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, if you really want to go a little deeper into it,
yeah.
The Greek and Hebrew lexicons are excellent.
Yeah, probably for the majority in this room, you're not going to primarily go there. Now, I did a YouTube on Bible study helps, and it's last year. And I go through how you can download a resource called eSword. Matter of fact, the YouTube, if you looked up eSword on my page, it would take you there and it would walk you through how you can download eSword. On eSword, can you get Cruden's on there? I bet you can. I'm not sure about that. I'm gonna check. On eSword, you can actually download Strong's. I have Vines off there. I have the KJV. Not that. There's a bunch of topical stuff. Webster's 1828's on there. There's a lot of tools on there. It's free. The King James is free. You have to pay for others, but you wouldn't want to do that anyway. The King James is on there. It's great. Now, the one thing it doesn't do, which I like to do, I have a whole library of, it's called Biblical something library. I don't know. It's probably 35, 40 books. And what that library, and matter of fact, I used that the most when I was doing my research on the word fellowship. What that does is, you know, when you look at a word, you'll get a little Strong's word up here, right? A little Strong's number. But there's also a tense and a mood and a tense, a mood and a voice in our sentence structure in the Greek. So, like, I really dove into the word fellowship and saw that it's a noun, right? And that helped me here. And so then go into these, the tense, the mood, the voice. That helps you to know what the direction of that verse is. Is it a command? Is it a question? You know, what is it? Well, that's what you're going to find there. You don't have to do that initially, but as you start studying, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with it. Now, we don't study to change the meaning of the word. We don't study to change the thought. We just want to help kind of make sure we're in that right direction. Does that make sense? That's what I use study for. And so I don't use commentaries very often in my study, but I will at times use a commentary to check me, right? I have a thought towards something. Wonder what this guy, I respect him. I wonder what he thinks about that, right? That's how I usually use a commentary for that. Because I want to give the Holy Spirit first shot at me. Does that make sense? I don't want to go into it with someone else's thought. I want the Holy Spirit to deal with me first, right? Then from that perspective, I go in and check me on that, all right? So if you don't have, that looks like a mess, amen? As we try to help each other in this area of study, it's imperative that you're able to have some studies. Now, my wife does not like to use a computer for study. Sounds like that's where Sharon is as well. She wants to pull out the big books. And one of my big tools that I use, I don't even have it on computer, so I do pull out the books for that. But I prefer using my computer because there's so many tools that I access that I typically use my computer, and I've become pretty proficient, you know, at that. So anyway, so we were just talking about if salvation, if you have a topic you want to study, what do you, that's where we started. We're going to further that thought. Yes?
If anybody's interested, I can talk to them afterwards, but I have several Bible apps on my phone, and some of them are free, and there's one that I use, like you just said, and I just looked it up, and you just hit a button, and it gives you the Strong's, and it gives you tense, mood, all that, you know?
Amen. Which one's that?
That's
Okay. Yeah, I have that one too. The
there's Blue Letter Bible.
Yeah.
Online, and there's a bunch of them.
I've tried Blue Letter. I'm not a big fan. The Pocket Sword, which is good. There's Pocket Sword, and then there's eSword Mobile. They've come a long way. And I don't know, though, if they do all the mood tense and voice and all that. But the other thing you can do if you're just getting started in study is we have a little thing called a Bible. It's an expanded Bible promise book. And matter of fact, they're right back there. Micah, hold one of those up there. If you do not have one of those, I'll give you one. And it's that one right there. Hold that. There you go. What that does is that has a bunch of topics in it that are great at, like, it'll just give you scripture for that topic. And on this particular book, on the topics that it doesn't do that for, it has an expanded section that just gives you the address for those. And you could take that. Like, if you looked up anxiety in there, it would give you, I think anxiety has 2 or 3 pages of scripture just on that topic. It gives you nothing except scripture. That's what I like about it. So then you can read through there and see a bunch of passages in your Bible that deal with that. And I would say, as a quick reference for all Christians, that book right there should be a real quick, I can pull that thing out and I have it with me. It's amazing. If you're talking to somebody, working with somebody, and you're trying to witness to them, and they ask you about something, man, pull that thing out and go to that topic and just read scripture, right? If we can get away from our opinion and just let scripture deal with our issues or somebody else, it takes the pressure off of us and it puts it where it needs to be, right, with God. And so anyway, that's good stuff. So we have a question about something. We find a word that kind of is the main word of our issue, and we do a study on that. We look it up. It might just be a casual thing. We pull out the promise book. It might be that you go more in depth. That's fine. But we need to be able to do that and not be intimidated by that. Amen? You don't have to know you don't have to have a computer or know a computer to do this, right? That promise book is just a little book. Sister Sharon, she pulls out books, right? And so I can take in my office and show you all kinds of tools you can get right now. The other one we didn't even mention, there's a context to everything. There's a situational context. There is a historical context. There is a dispensational context to things. What helps with that is a little tool called Haley's Handbook. Haley's Handbook is amazing. What that does is you look up that book, and what Haley has done is he's put together in there just what's going on in that time, what's the date range, what else is happening, and it just gives a real quick thought on that time frame. And then it also gives a little bit about each chapter. It's more high level. It's not going to drill down, but it just gives you a little bit of context. Hey, what's going on right now? And so I like that book, that one too. And that's Haley's. And I'm sure there's more. If we just kept talking, I'd think of some more. Amen. But there's plenty of tools out there. So if you do not have any of these tools, then I would highly encourage you. If you're okay with your phone or a computer, let's go that route. If you want to do hard copy, let's pick up a couple of these other things up and just start to, when you have issue with things, start doing word searches, start doing studies, go to the scripture, let that scripture begin to speak to you. Does that make sense? We did not get to the book of Revelation today. I'm sorry for that. Yes?
Are you saying on the downloads it's e-sort or e-sword?
Sword, S-W-O-R-D. Yep. Yep. I think online it's, on the phone, I'm not sure, but I know on the PC it's e-sword. And it's got like a blue-black background with a sword. Yeah. So, but we'll definitely help along those lines. But good stuff. Any thoughts, questions real quick? Because we're out of time. That went quick. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very important. Amen. Let's pray.